Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on June 13th, 2014. I beg your pardon, Zimbabwe. Today is June 16th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Sandra Nyaira.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Members of the MDCT Youth Assembly defy a police ban on their march to mark the International Day of the African Child.
Those youngsters were poor just like us.
Yes.
Those youngsters were jobless just like us.
Yes.
Those youngsters, they were not armed. Just like us, they were just showing their flags and banners, demanding their right.
Academically brilliant but economically disadvantaged Zimbabwe students earn scholarships to study at top universities in the United States.
It's pretty exciting considering my financial situation. My dad passed away when I was in grade 3. So it was kind of hard for my mom to raise me, paying the boarding fees and stuff. So it's quite an achievement. I'm so excited.
And African Union Commission Chair Dr. Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma says Africa has made significant strides, but there's still more to be done.
Members of the MDCT Youth Assembly today defied a police ban on their march in Harare to commemorate the International Day of the African Child. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
More than 300 members of the youth wing of the MDC formation led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai today gathered a townhouse in Harare to stage a demonstration in commemoration of the International Day of the African Child in defiance of authorities who had banned the march. Most of the demonstrators held placards with protest messages. Some of them read, quote, "We want our jobs now, Mugabe must go now." When the protesters were about to leave townhouse, heading to Harare Gardens, the planned venue of the commemorations, heavily armed police officers then arrived and ordered the protesters to disperse, but their call was ignored. One of the youth leaders, Denford Ngadziwore, who is the MDCT Youth Provincial Secretary, was then handcuffed by police, taken to the back of a police van, and then to Harare Central Station. Following Ngadziwore's arrest, his fellow demonstrators started booing the police, held their placards into the streets, and headed to the Harare Garden. The police then followed the protesters to the venue where they were addressed by leaders of their party's youth assembly. Upon arrival of the demonstrators at Harare Gardens, MDCT Youth Chairperson for Harare Province, Shakespeare Mukoi, told the swelling crowd that President Robert Mugabe should leave office because he has failed to provide the 2.2 million jobs that his party promised in the run-up to last year's disputed national elections. He also criticized the police for arresting Ngadziwore and trying to stop them from marching, saying their behavior was similar to that of the apartheid regime in South Africa, where several youths were maimed in 1976 while demanding their rights.
Mutemo is very clear that we should not seek permission, but we notify. Indeed, that is what we have done.
Yes.
Chisha. So it's up to them.
The national spokesperson of the MDCT Youth Wing, Clifford Hlatshwayo, said the struggles of the young people of South Africa in 1976 were similar with those affecting the Zimbabwean youth today.
Those youngsters were poor just like us.
Yes.
Those youngsters were jobless just like us.
Yes.
Those youngsters, they were not armed just like us. They were just showing their flags and banners, demanding their right.
Yes.
And today we are also showing that we are not happy by the way this country is being ruled. We are demanding our jobs, our rights.
Yes.
The assembly's organizing secretary, Hepimo Chidziva, then took to the stand and announced there will be what he called a winter of discontent in the country, with mass action starting on the 1st of July. Chidziva said the protests will not stop until the 31st of July, which he called a D-Day for President Mugabe, a day marking exactly a year after the 90-year-old leader was re-elected.
Action!
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 The month of July is the month of action.
Action!
In all means necessary, Zimbabwe will be free.
Former Labour Minister in the Unity Government, Paulina Gwanyanya Mpariwa, was in attendance. She urged the authorities to respect the rights of the young people, including the provision of decent work and education, as enshrined in the country's new constitution. Political analyst and director of the Media Center, Ernest Mudzengi, said even though the youth were parroting a party position line regarding mass protests, it might be difficult to get the buy-in of ordinary Zimbabweans as long as the opposition is still entangled in leadership squabbles.
If the MDC is to effectively stage protests, then it must be strong in both its leadership structures and also in terms of the public perception. Because if for any protest to be successful, it has to be supported by the public. And the public right now, when you look at a significant section thereof, is worried as to what is happening within the MDC. And for them to just then announce that they are now into protest without first giving the public confidence of their own leadership, of solving their own problems, I think there will be serious problems. This protest risk suffering a stillbirth.
The International Day of the African Child was commemorated in several countries worldwide today, while some youth organizations are also planning some belated events. The day was set aside by the Organization of African Unity, now the African Union, in 1991, following a students' uprising in South Africa in 1976. In those protests, the police in the then apartheid South Africa shot dead more than 65 youths and injured many others in an age that received worldwide condemnation. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
The United States has provided $6 million worth of scholarships to 28 economically disadvantaged but academically gifted Zimbabwean students under the United States Achievers Program, or USAP. Ivan Chifera has more details from the capital.
At a send-off ceremony for the 28 who are going to study at some of the top universities in America, U.S. Ambassador to Zimbabwe Bruce Wharton said the USAP program has seen talented Zimbabweans excelling at some of the best universities in the world, adding the recipients will no doubt help develop their country upon return.
The long-term purpose of USAP is to build Zimbabwe and the positive connections between the United States and Zimbabwe. Now, I hope that you will all commit to that ideal and use your time in the U.S. to gain skills and develop plans that you can put to work back in Zimbabwe in the future.
All the students were grateful for making it under the USAP program, adding, without the U.S. Embassy Education Section's assistance, they would not have realized their dream of studying at some of the top universities in the world. Charity Bebe from Matabeleland North, who is headed for Arizona State University, where she will study public health and women empowerment, tells Studio 7 she will come back to assist the disadvantaged women in her community.
Education for women, and most women, they're like the people who are vulnerable. So they need us. They need us to empower them and speak up for those women. So that's why I wanted to gender empowerment and development. And then I promise I'm coming back to Zimbabwe for you. To the women out there, I'm coming back, and this country is going to change for the better, definitely.
Bezum Pasiri, who was raised by a single parent, is excited. He says without USAP, university education education would have been a pipe dream.
It's pretty exciting considering my financial situation. My dad passed away when I was in grade 3. So it was kind of hard for my mom to raise me, paying the boarding fees and stuff. So it's quite an achievement. I'm so excited. After I complete my studies, I plan on gaining experience, then come back to Zimbabwe to rebuild my country. Just because I want to study economics and computer science with specializations in software engineering. So I want to upgrade the software industry of Zimbabwe.
Tatenda Nyandoro, who had commenced economic studies at the University of Zimbabwe, since this program of choice is not offered locally, says USAP has enabled him to pursue his dream.
I'm so happy about it because my dream is now coming true. Since I'm now able to go for my program, which I really wanted, which is not offered here in Zimbabwe, I want to study performing arts.
Today's ceremony was attended by former USAP graduates. Some of them have completed their studies and are working in Zimbabwe. Parents, relatives, and friends of the 2014 USAP class also attended the event. Since the launch of the program 14 years ago, more than 1,200 Zimbabweans have completed their studies or are enrolled at American universities. An initiative of the U.S. Embassy in Harare, USAP has been replicated in 12 countries on 4 continents. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
African Union Commission Chair Dr. Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma says Africa has made significant strides, but there is still more to be done. She says while much has been achieved in agriculture, she's concerned about the decline in industrialization in many African countries and presses on governments to prioritize this as a way of alleviating poverty and improving people's lives. The EU Commission Chair also credited China for its role in helping build Africa's infrastructure and urged African leaders to attain a more equitable relationship with the Asian nation. Dlamini Zuma, who was in London for the Global Summit to End Sexual Conflict, tells VOA Zimbabwe Service that she's concerned, or encouraged rather, by the advancement in democracy in Africa, but stresses the need to do more.
Democracy on our continent is taking root. The vast majority of countries, people are living in better governed countries. There is participatory democracy, but there is still a lot more to be done. But we have gone a long way, I would say, in that area. But we need to make sure that it's participatory, it's inclusive, that we manage diversity in that democracy.
And in terms of development, in terms of industrialization of Africa as a continent, where do you see the continent going? Is enough being done not only by the AU itself as an organization, but the governments themselves and, you know, the support structures that are supposed to be there?
When it comes to industrialization, we're not doing well at all. In fact, I think we have declined in industrialization. We need to really restart. But some countries have started, particularly around agriculture. There are some countries that are doing a bit more than others. But generally, if we take the continent generally, I would say on industrialization, we are not doing well. We must make sure we really kickstart industrialization in agriculture. Value addition of our natural and mineral resources is going to be very important, because if we don't manufacture, we can't sustain the growth that we have now. Even the intra-African trade won't grow to the same extent, though there is some improvement, but we really need to do a lot more.
There have been complaints by some, lastly, my last question, by some on the continent and outside about Africa's relations with China. Some feel that not much tangible development is being realized on the continent, on the grassroots level, as opposed to what China is getting out of Africa. How do you see that?
Well, I think in any relationship, you have to define what you want and then make sure that you get it. I don't think we can blame China. But at the same time, we must also agree that China is doing a lot, especially in infrastructure in some of the countries. Somebody was just talking that post-colonial railway, the only significant railway that was ever built post-colonial, was built by China between Tanzania and Zambia when apartheid was starting out Zambia from the ports. So there was the Tanzam Rail. And there are quite a number of infrastructure things that China is doing. But I think we ourselves had not defined what we want out of this relationship. As soon as we have done that, I think the Chinese will come on board. Right now, we are even discussing with them to modernize our rail, to bring high-speed trains to the continent. So we are discussing with them. And as I say, if you don't define what you want and work on it with them, then you won't get it. But if you do, I think they will cooperate.
African Union Commission Chairperson Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma on the line from London.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
The Harare Residents Trust says it will engage lawyers to defend residents who are being threatened with legal action by the city for allegedly defaulting on bill payments. The cash-strapped council says residents, businesses, government and other metropolitan towns such as Chitungwiza and Norton owe over $104 million. The city is claiming that some residents have defaulted for almost a year now. The city spokesman Leslie Gwindi says council has been issuing letters of final demand to defaulters, with some cases already being referred to lawyers for appropriate action. The city bills US $24 million every month, but is only collecting an average $11 million. Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni told Studio 7 the local authority is failing to provide better services due to cash flow problems raised by residents' failure to pay their bills. But Harare Residents Trust Director Precious Shumba says corruption in the city is to blame.
That is the height of arrogance being displayed by officials at Town House. You might be aware that at a time when the council must be apologetic for paying huge salaries to their senior employees in grades 4, 3, 2, and 1, at a time when the dust has not yet settled, when they diverted funds meant for water rehabilitation from the Chinese loan to purchase 25 luxury vehicles, they have the audacity to write to residents, summoning them, taking legal action against the residents, the same residents who are expected to repay the loan that has been diverted for luxury by senior council officials. And we think it's high time that the residents are educated on the justification for rent boycott, and we are in the process of educating them on why it is necessary to take this action, boycotting rent. The summons are meant to intimidate residents and coerce them to pay for their extravagant lifestyles.
But the mayor in response is saying that if residents do not pay their bills, the council will also fail to deliver.
That is a symptom of a failed administration.
That was Harare Residents Trust Director Precious Shumba speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Blessing also spoke with chairman of the combined Harare Residents Association, Simbara Shemoyo, who's urging residents to pay.
As the Combined Harare Residents Association, we are urging all the residents of the city of Harare and even other cities to pay their bills. If they can't pay the full amount, they have to get into some kind of talks with their local officials and have some or get into some debt settlement arrangements so that there is a clear plan that the debt will be settled. But we understand that there are some people who, because of the economic circumstances that we are in at the moment, are unable to pay to settle their bills. So on that particular case, surely there has to be some kind of negotiations that have to take place between that resident who is unable to pay and the city of Harare.
But the city fathers are saying that they will seek the legal route to try and make sure the outstanding bills are paid. Is this the best way forward?
In my view, and on behalf of the association, we don't see this as the best way forward because it creates a lot of animosity. The next thing after engaging the courts is that someone's property will be attached to settle these bills that you are talking about. We certainly must be mature enough. The local authority must be mature enough. They must engage the residents and understand their plight and actually reach some common ground.
That was Chairman of the Combined Harare Residents Association, Simbarasha Moyo, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. Did you know you can listen to web audio replays of our programs on our website and sign up for newsletters in English, Shona and Ndebele?
Visit our site at www.studio7news.com. You can also give us feedback by text message. Our number is 1-202-465-0318.
MDCT spokesman Douglas Monzora says his party, which is in the midst of a split, is not surprised that former Women's Assembly chairperson and Kuwadzana West member of parliament Lucia Matibenga attended a meeting held over the weekend in Midland South by the Renewal Team faction headed by former Secretary General Tendai Biti. Monzora says his group was already aware that Matibenga was in the Biti faction of the MDC. Matibenga's moves come at a time when some youths in Manicaland province over the weekend also announced that they were abandoning former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai's faction to join the Renewal Team. Studio 7 failed to get a comment from Mrs. Matibenga. Her phone went unanswered. Jonga Kandemiri spoke earlier on with Mr. Monzora.
Well, the reports are true, and we knew all along that she was there in body and in spirit. She was with Mangoma and Miti to try to debrand the MDC and especially to try to debrand Morgan Tsvangirai. I say debrand Morgan Tsvangirai because ever since they formed their political party, which has not yet found a name, they've always attacked Morgan Tsvangirai. They've never attacked Robert Mugabe in ZANU-PF. As the MDC, we do not accept that, and we are very happy that those people who think like that have left, and they are leaving the people's project intact.
What picture does this paint to the MDC?
Well, splits and splinters have always happened throughout history. It's not the first time that a party has splintered or split. So this is not a new phenomenon at all. And what is important for us is not individual leaders. What is important is the side where the people are. And the people are clearly on the side of Morgan Tsvangirai.
MDCT spokesman Douglas Monzora in Harare. But the Renewal Team spokesman Jacob Mafume says all MDC members, including Mrs. Matibenga, are free to attend their meetings.
Attending meetings is a democratic right of members of the MDC. Where members of the MDC are gathered, whether they are for renewal or they are not for renewal, we expect those meetings to be attended. But what we know is that Mai Matibenga is the senior leader of the party. She has represented the party at many levels. And like what we have done with the other leaders, like Gordon Moyo, Manicaland leaders, and everyone else, we allow people to speak for themselves at the appropriate time, either in words or in deeds.
So in a way, are you saying that Ms. Matibenga has not yet openly joined the Renewal Team?
What we are saying is that the methodology what we have been using as the Renewal Team is that our leaders are at liberty. It is a party and a collection of Democrats. We believe that people will speak. Others have chosen to speak in deed. Others will choose to speak in word. And I think at the appropriate forum, and as we move forward, you will be hearing from many of these leaders, such as Lucia Matibenga, just as you heard from Gordon Moyo, who has expressed his position, his disappointment, and his understanding of the need for a democratic process all around.
That was Renewal Team spokesman Jacob Mafume on the line from Harare with Studio 7.
Some human rights activists have described First Lady Amai Grace Mugabe's call for rapists to be beheaded as too extreme. Amai Mugabe made the call at the weekend when she addressed a World Blood Donor Day commemoration in Chinoy. She said rapists do not deserve to live and therefore should be beheaded. Alternatively, she said rapists should be castrated for causing untold suffering to women. Gender activist Stars Matetebe supports Amai Mugabe's stance. She told Studio 7 that beheading rapists should be considered because they are a menace to society. However, another gender activist, Betty Makoni, founder of the Girl Child Network, told Studio 7 that Amai Mugabe may have been merely politicking.
But I'm just thinking at the back of my mind to say, if we start castrating, if we reached like a dead end of what we can do to men who rape. Because I used to remember when I did rescue missions in Zimbabwe, rescuing kids. By the time a man is taken into custody, the whole village stops it. So just the mere fact that he has been taken by police, it's uncultural, it's unheard of, it's a taboo. So those actions to actually, get rapists arrested were actually deterrent enough in a number of villages, because I still remember in Rusape, a village had about 100 cases a year, but since they picked up two men who once raped children, those rape cases went down to 7 per year. So I think without trying to actually undermine the advocacy that the First Lady is doing, we might just want to professionalize it to deterrent, sentences that are harsh.
That was gender activist Betty Makoni. She's the founder of the Girl Child Network. She spoke with Studio 7 from London.
The 2014 Young African Leaders Initiative participants from Zimbabwe arrived in the United States from Saturday and quickly dispersed to their respective universities and colleges to begin their six-week Washington Fellowship program. The 500 participants, including 30 young Zimbabweans who are scattered throughout the U.S., began their program today with orientation and other programs. The participants will spend their time receiving training in civic leadership and entrepreneurship, including taking classes at their designated institutions. Eventually, the participants will come to Washington, D.C. to meet President Barack Obama, who launched the program in 2010. Put your flags up in the
sky. And in sports, World Cup attention continued in Brazil today. Soccer giants Germany and Portugal clashing in a Group G match. More from Marvelous Mhlanganyahui.
Well, obviously Zimbabweans are disappointed that we are not being represented at the World Cup once more. In fact, we have never been represented there. But hopefully we can continue improving and one day we make it to the World Cup. What has been happening is that this has forced many of the Zimbabwe soccer fans to then cheer behind most of the African teams. Yeah, I think the key there will be for Nigeria not to concede, and their goalkeeper Vincent Nyema comes into the picture. He has done well at his club, and as he comes into the World Cup, he will be expected to shine as well and do very well. But besides him, there is also John Obi Mikel. Of course, we know he has not been playing regularly at Chelsea, but come to the World Cup, he is expected to play a very crucial role. Iran, to me, might not be a big threat for Nigeria, and if they are to kickstart their World Cup in a fine way, then they should just go for victory against Iran. And we do expect them to get that one and win it. That is Nigeria against Iran.
What about Africa's hopeful Ghana? We saw them advancing to perhaps one of the last stages that any African country has ever been able to advance to in the